You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Because I'm a glutton for punishment. No, I'm kidding. So I'm actually a lawyer by education.
What?
I'm born in California. Yes. I did a JD MBA at Rutgers on the East Coast. And I ended up having to take over my family business. My dad got sick. He's healthy now. So it's a happy ending story. But at 26, I was the CEO for the first time for 3 years. So I ran his company, which had a staff of 60. Do you know the Bassett furniture brand?
Which one?
Do you know Bassett Furniture?
Uh-huh.
So he was the West Coast partner for Bassett. So I stepped in at 26 and was interim CEO there for 3 years. I was the youngest person in the company, certainly the youngest woman, and had a staff of 60 and did all the marketing, merchandising, buying, training, sales, you name it. Luckily, he got healthy, stepped back in, and I went back after those big law firm jobs, and I was getting those great six-figure offers. And every time I got one of those offers, Tanya, I was like, "Huh." Like something like viscerally in my body was like, this is not my jam. Like, this is not my direction anymore. And so I started really listening to my gut and my intuition, and the MBA was in marketing. And I started talking to and meeting with other entrepreneurs, and all their pain points were around digital. It was right when digital started. I'm probably aging myself a bit. And I was like, I could do that. Like, I know how to figure that shit out. And I did. I mean, it was probably a little bit of guts and a little bit of gusto and a lot of bravado. And that was 12 years ago.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I have a younger sister, 6 years younger.
Okay. So it's just two girls. So she was younger than you. So you were the one who had to take it. What about mom? Mom couldn't take over?
My mom is a kindergarten teacher and has been for almost 50 years. We can't get her to retire. God bless her. But yeah, that was not going to ever be her direction in life.
So, I mean, that could not have been an easy thing, like running a company of 60 people. And this is an old, like established company, and you're this little young whippersnapper. What were some of the challenges of that?
All of them, all of the challenges of that. it was not fun. It was not fun. The company was struggling when I stepped in financially. So, you know, people are like, oh, how cool, you were a CEO at 26. And I was like, no, it was not that. I didn't have any formal training in being a business owner. And I think that's a big misnomer. It's like, you go to business school, you get an MBA, you're a lawyer, you can handle anything. And I did figure it out and eventually got it done, but it was scary. I mean, I remember sitting in my car around the corner from one of the stores and just like crying, right? I was like, I can't do it in the store. I need to get my shit together, but I need to get out this emotion. Because the truth is, I was running this company that I didn't know shit about while my dad was dying. And I thought it had completely derailed my entire life trajectory. So yeah, it was not fun.
What were some of the hardest things that you went through in that process that then turned out to be this gift in your current or your future? Like the worst possible thing that became the best possible thing when you look back on it?
Such a great question. As I mentioned earlier, part of my ethos and part of our ethos as a company is about women's empowerment and diversity, right? And so being in that space where it was, you know, pale, male, and stale, you know, that was really eye-opening experience for me. And so I've really driven the company by the opposite of that. How can we have a more diverse perspective? How can we lead with empowering of women and girls? How can I support a community that, you know, may not have had the same resources that I have had? I think that's been such a gift because I saw how I was treated just as a woman. And I was a woman with means and with education. And the, most of the world is not like that. So I think it was super challenging. But in the long run, it has made me so much more clear about my purpose on this planet.
Did you ever have to put anybody in their place? Tell us, is there a story of having to put someone in their place?
Well, I think you can tell that I am not a quiet, you know, wallflower. And so I remember very clearly being at High Point in North Carolina, which is where the furniture market happens, right? Yep. And it was like me and thousands of these like fat, white, middle-aged dudes smoking cigars and drinking scotch. And I remember very clearly that one of them hit on me and I had to look at him and I had to say, I'm sorry, like in what world, honestly? So that was really fun.
Didn't cost you any sales now, did it?
No, it did not. It did not. He owned Bassett stores in a different part of the country. So that was a different experience for me. But it was very, you know, very misogynistic, very driven by that male ego. And I don't put up with that shit. Not on my watch.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, you know, you have quite, you have the capacity to do many, many things. Do you think that you will continue in this or are you already visioning what your next chapter is?
I love what I do. I really do. I love building teams. I love finding talent. I love building brands. I can't imagine doing anything else right now. And my husband has his own agency as well. So we're both like total guns for punishment.
So you both do marketing, separate companies?
He builds different kinds of platforms. So he's an engineer in the web space and he builds like the Netflixes of the world. So he builds what are called OTT or over the top platforms. So he's far more technical than I am, but we overlap from time to time.
And do you work together sometimes?
We have. Yeah, we have.
Is that good?
Yes, we absolutely. So we don't have kids. We have
you
fur
don't
babies.
Have kids. I thought
no,
I,
we don't.
I was looking you up that you had two little kids where I saw a picture of you and they weren't your kids then. Okay.
Two fur babies. That's what okay. I call my fur babies. Okay. So our businesses are our babies. And we really have so much mutual respect for each other and what each of us does. And our skill sets overlap in some ways and really are so divergent in others. And I think that's a beautiful thing. We really respect each other.
Do you get to travel?
I do. Well, not right now, but typically, yeah, I definitely get to travel, both for pleasure and for business. It's really fun.
And so now what if you're doing a brand that's, is the listening system really the basis for everything? Cause I'm like one of these people, I'm like the algorithm can't know everything. There's some things that come from humans. Like what is the intersection between data and then just intuitive sense of like, this is what needs to be done?
Yeah, that's, I think that's totally a fair question. The data is the starting point because, again, everyone has an opinion. And so even when brands or individuals to build a brand come to us, they're like, I think X, Y, and Z. And so I have to pull back and say, I appreciate your opinion. And I certainly have an opinion as well. As you can probably tell, I'm very opinionated about everything. But I want to know what the data says first. Then we overlay our expertise on top of it, because that's really why that company has come to us or that person has come to us. And then I can go back to a place of empowerment and say, this is what you think. This is what the data shows. This is what our expertise would have us do. If you still want me to go through with the process and the way that you want me to do it, I mean, I'll do it. It's your company. But I have to stand up and tell you, this is what I think, and this is what the data shows, and this is how we believe you will be successful.
So I am just a contrary person. So it's like, if you brought me the data, I would be like, yeah, the data is what got us into the world we're in now. And I want to build a different world. I want to figure out how to do it differently. So what are you going to do with a client like me, who's like, that's how people have been doing it forever got us here. I want to come up with a new way. I want to reinvent the wheel. What are you going to do with me?
Well, that system runs behind the scenes, no matter what you say. So it's going to continue to tell us what, you know, what's working and what isn't. And, you know, like I said, if ultimately you're the client and you want to go in a different direction, we'll go in that direction. But when it doesn't deliver the results, then we do it my way.
We're going to do it your way. But you see, I'm your client who's like, no, I don't care how much it's costing me. I want us to keep doing it my way till we make my way the new way.
Then you're going to spend a lot of money and not get a lot of results. And, you know, we've certainly have had stubborn clients like that for sure. But then that's not usually a good fit for us, right? It's also about finding the client relationship fit with an agency. Like, maybe we're not the right agency for you. And that's okay. We're not for everyone, you know,
but yeah, I would be remiss. Found new ways, like new ways. Cause I think my concern with the algorithm right now is we know that they're using that data to actually not even just predict your behavior, but to actually tip your behavior in a certain way. So, you know, maybe I want to tip your behavior back towards kinder, more morally sound. And the algorithm is always tipping you towards, you know, the things that are irritating and going to get you outraged and get you mad.
Well, I think that's about your voice of brand, right? So that's about how you communicate, not how the data drives people to those channels. So I would say, if you want to have...
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah,
not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.